2 John. There's a verse here that gives some instruction to us tonight that I believe will be a help to us. And he said in verse 4, this 2 John only has one chapter, of course, so verse 4. I rejoiced greatly that I found thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Isn't that something? Look how simple that King James Bible is. Isn't it amazing? They say that the most of the words in the King James Bible are one-syllable words. And they're always harping about how hard it is to understand. I wasn't saved in about 2 weeks, and I had figured out what thee and thou meant. And you can get it too. That King James Bible is plain. Psalm 9:17 in the New Version say, the wicked go to the grave and to Sheol. Now you tell me which is easy to understand, hell or Sheol. Out talk to the average guy on the street and ask him which is easiest to understand. Go out there and say, I'll go to Sheol. He might think that's a compliment. That's right. Now, listen. They said that one woman was demon-possessed. You hear all them stories they tell, and some probably true and some's made up. And something, the demon scratched hell on her stomach, because you know how they'll scratch on it, and wrote it in big letters right across her stomach. And it's odd that that devil quoted the King James. Wonder why he didn't write Hades across there. Something to think about, eh? Never in the movies do they write Hades or Sheol. It's hell. And we'll be talking about that the first night of the youth rally on the Bible. That's not what I'm preaching about tonight. Verse said, I rejoice when I hear that you walk in truth. I'd like to just give you a few thoughts tonight, very scattered, don't even have an outline, that we should get ready for our youth rally. There's a lot of things we can do to get ready for the youth rally. We need to, first thing, as you know what I believe the first thing everybody needs to do, regardless of what kind of problem you're facing or what you're dealing with, the very first thing everybody should do is get your own heart as right with God as you possibly can. That's the first thing in any situation. Marriage, financial, physical, emotional, no matter what situation you're in, the first thing to do is get your heart as right with God as you possibly can. Most people want to say, well, I'll tell you, we got a mess in our church, and I think so-and-so ought to do this, and I think oh so-and-so, and I don't like the way they're doing this, and the songs, and the Sunday school, and the preacher, and the this, that. The first thing all of us need to do is get our heart as right with God as we possibly can. We don't have no business saying nothing about nobody else when our own heart is not right. Am I right? My job as a preacher, matter of fact, you've heard me say this before, the most important thing in your life is your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's not right, nothing else will be right. The most important thing in your life is your personal relationship with the Lord. You can witness, and I do. You can pray, and I do. You can tithe, and I do. But it's not going to amount to much if our own personal relationship with God is not right. My first thing that I need to do tonight is make sure that Brother Danny is right with God. Amen? That's right. And that's your job. The first and foremost and best thing you can do to get ready for our youth rally is to make sure your heart is right with God.
You say, well, I reckon I'm right, preacher. Am I right? Well, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. There should not be deliberate sin in our lives. Not deliberate. Nobody's perfect. We all got, we mess up all the time. I understand that. I'm talking about there should not be a deliberate sin of lifestyle in our life. If we are deliberately doing wrong, we ought to get on this altar tonight and say, God, by your grace, I'm repenting of that, turning from it, and I want it out of my life. That's the first thing we ought to do. Get our heart right with God. You can't sit there tonight and say, Lord bless me, knowing in the back of your mind that you're going to go out and do something wicked tomorrow or the next day. You can't do it. You say, well, Brother Danny, we're going to fall. I understand that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about deliberate lifestyle of sin. Plan out. You cannot get what God wants you to have if you have that mentality. You must have the attitude of, I'm going to get right with God. You can have on this a little bit, Brother Mike. Heard this story. It reminded me of a lot of church members. I heard this story this some years ago. They was having some Halloween party up in this little town. And these people were dressed up, you know, going out for trick-or-treating and stuff like that. And this guy dressed up like the devil. And he was going to be the devil at this Halloween party. Well, he's going up the road in this little bitty town, going up there, and it come the awfulest rainstorm, awful, terrible, thunder, lightning, rain, and everybody was running for cover. Well, this guy in this devil suit looked around, and there wasn't nothing around but this little country church there on the hill. And he's a little country church, about 30 people in it. And they was all in there praying. They was having a big service like that, you know, and everything. Boy, and they was asking the Lord to bless them, you know, and everything. And that thunder and lightning is scary outside. Well, all of a sudden, the back door flew open, and lo, the devil comes running down the church aisle. And I'm telling you, them people, they flew out. They run into Sunday school classes. I mean, one jumped out the window, going out the back door. I mean, they was... like you flushed that whole crowd. And but they were out there screaming and hollering, ah, the devil, and grabbing the kids and going everything. And they said this one old deacon standing there like that, got his jacket hung or something like that on the coat on the church pew, and everybody running, hollering, screaming like that. Here come the devil down the aisle, and the devil, and he looked at the devil and he said, devil, don't get me. I've been a member of this church 25 years, but I've been on your side all the time. And I thought, that's the way a lot of people are. You know what? When it comes right down to it, they'd say, devil, I'm on your side. Well, we ought not to do that tonight. We ought to say, I'm on the Lord's side, right? I'm on the Lord's side. We may not be perfect, but we're on the Lord's side. You know what? A prophet in the Old Testament was a man who took God's side in a controversy. You know what a prophet is? A man who takes God's side in a controversy in your Old Testament. And that's what we should do. There's a lot of controversy. The brother back there has got Darwin's place of a place called Darwin there on his little brochure there. And I thought about Charles Darwin. That's a big controversy. We ought to take our stand with the Lord in that controversy. We ought to take our stand with the Lord on the controversy of abortion. We ought to take our stand with the Lord on a controversy of same-sex marriages. We ought to take our stand for the Lord with the controversy of the Bible being the absolute, inspired, infallible Word of the living God. Somebody done fuss, all right. We're going to stir up a stink on that Friday night. I'm telling you, it's already a brewing. There's going to be a stink. Somebody said, well, you believe those King James translators were inspired? No, I don't. I believe they were led. The Bible was already inspired before they ever got a hold of it. I'm going to tell you tonight, we ought to take our stand for what is right. You want to be ready for the youth rally? Get your own heart just as right with God as you possibly can. That's right. I'm telling you tonight, don't be a hitchhiker. I mean, don't be just a freeloader. You know what a hitchhiker is? A hitchhiker is somebody who stands out on the side of the road like this right here. Oh, well, they used to. Nowadays, they'll pile up over here in the ditch, you know, and put a sign up, and they got sleeping bags and tents and everything. I picked up this old boy the other day going to Indiana or Wisconsin or somewhere, and I took him to Asheville. And I mean, he had big old tents, you know, and everything. He's a hitchhiker. He's like this. And basically what a hitchhiker is saying is, I'm going to let you buy that car, and I'm going to let you put gas in it, and I'm going to let you pay the insurance and put tires on it and have it inspected and pay the tag and keep it up, and I'm going to let you take me where I want to go. That's basically what they're saying. They don't want to pay. They just want a free ride in. And I'm telling you, our churches are filled with people like that tonight. They don't want to pay. They don't want to pray. They just want to ride in all that. By the way, if you don't fast and if you don't pray, don't you ever say, well, I was dead around the church. There ain't much going on. How much have you prayed? How much have you fasted? If something bad happens to the youth rally and it's a flop, hope and pray it ain't. But don't you dare say, well, the youth rally, it wasn't that great this year. If you didn't pray and if you didn't fast, I mean, listen, personality don't make it good. Talent don't make it good. Skits don't make it good. Singing don't make it good. The power of God is what makes a church service change people's lives. And so tonight, I tell you, we ought to pray. We ought to fast. We ought to beg God to help us. We ought to ask the Lord to help us. We ought to pray, God, help me to do my part. I want to be loyal. I want to be loyal in my giving. I want to be loyal in my attitude. I want to do right. I want to do right. I want to stick with the preacher and the church and go for the glory of God. Lord, I want to do my part. I'm there's like Moses coming out of Egypt. And they come out of Egypt's bondage there, and they got out there to the Red Sea, and boy, there was that big old sea in front of them, and Egypt back there behind them, and Moses had his rod there, and them people turned against him just like that. One of the things that I've noticed in pastoring a church is how people can just turn on you. Just overnight, just when something don't go their way, they'll just turn on you just like, it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. I always thought if you had a friend, you stuck with your friend. You may not always agree, but you know what I'm talking about. But it's amazing to me how people are just fickle, just flip-flop overnight and just turn their back on the church and the Lord and everything. Well, they got out there and they couldn't, you heard the story. And they was out there and he looked out there and there wasn't nothing but the Red Sea. And he looked over there and there wasn't nothing but desert. And he looked over there and there wasn't nothing but mountains. And they looked back and somebody said, there's Pharaoh. Here comes Pharaoh and his army. And Moses looked up there and Aaron looked at him and said, now what, buddy? And the people thought, now you've got us out here and you're going to kill us. And now they're going to kill us. We hate you. We was going to buy you a new camel for your anniversary, but forget it, buddy. You've got us out here and let us out here in the middle of nowhere, and Pharaoh's going to kill us. We can't go that way. It's desert. Can't go that way. It's mountain. Can't go that way. It's water. They turned on that preacher just like that. But you know what old Moses done? He turned around and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, just like, look like Lone Ranger and Tonto, you know. Lone Ranger and Tonto, they was out riding up through the desert one time, and 10,000 Indians come up in front of them. They looked around, 10,000 Indians come up behind them. They looked that way, and 10,000 Indians come up that way. They looked over there, 10,000 Indians. And Lone Ranger said, what are we going to do now, Tonto? And Tonto said, what do you mean we, white man? Yeah, he's taking sides with the Indian. I mean, he's automatic. That's the way people automatically take the other side. I'm telling you, old Moses looked at them people and he said, I tell you what, God didn't bring us out here to drop us now. He didn't bring us out here to let us go. Stand still. And he took that rod like that and he stuck that thing out. I don't even know if he knew what was going to happen, but he stuck it out there. Can you imagine that sea? And the Lord says, and he done like that, and the wind came down, and the water started standing up like that right there. And Moses said, now there you go. Quit your whining, quit your complaining. Let's go for the glory of God. That's a preacher for you, buddy. That's God's man who will take the lead and stand up and say, come on, let's go. Follow me as I follow the Lord. Listen, the world can't do nothing with a church or with a group of people that'll trust God and say, Lord, let's go for God. And they walked across that sea on dry ground. And Moses led them across, and Pharaoh and them tried it, and the water come down on and drowned every one of them. You know what that means? We're going places where this world can't go. Some, you know what the professor said in college? He said, well, that was really the Sea of Reeds. Not the Red Sea, the Reed Sea. And it was only 4 inches of water. And my old country boy jumped up and he said, woo! It's a bigger miracle than I thought. God drowned Pharaoh and his whole army in 4 inches of water. That's right. That always happens when some idiot tries to get rid of the miracles in the Bible. Every time you try to explain away one of the miracles of the Bible, it takes a bigger miracle to happen like you believe it happened. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. Brother, God led them through. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're facing a big task. We've got 1,000 people coming to our youth rally. We've got to preach to them. We've got to feed them the Word of God. We've got to give them food. We've got to tip. And listen, there is no way to do it. And I'm standing up here tonight believing God. I'm standing up here in front of you tonight saying, stand still and see the salvation of God if we'll get our hearts where we need to be and get everything right with us. Brother, God will make a way when there is no way. He'll make a way through the desert, a highway. He'll do it. He'll supply the need. I remember one time, a few years ago, when we was just moving in this building, we didn't have money. Brother, we'd spend everything we got, went to the bank, borrowed more to get in this new building. And I got up over at the youth rally, and I said, folks, normally I don't even take up an offering at the youth rally. It's mostly young people. I hate taking up offering. I don't even want people to think we got that's our mindset. I said, but we've got to have some help. Everybody give some money. And when it was over, there's a little old country boy come up to me, a little skinny boy from down South Carolina, and he come up and he said you was needing a little money to help pay for this. And I said, yes, sir, sure do. He said, how much you need? I said, be honest with you, about $5,200. And he said, okay, I'll help you pray about that. And I said, I appreciate that. And he said, I'll give you a little bit. I thought he was going to give me like $50, something like that. And a few days later, I got a letter from the mail. Forgot all about that guy. I got a letter in the mail to that guy, and it was a check for $5,200. He paid for the whole youth rally. Little old country boy. I mean, you wouldn't need it to look like he had $100. You know who done that? The Lord did that. You know, you say, oh, that would have happened anyway. No, God takes care. I've always believed, and I still believe, if we'll do right, and if we'll do what God wants us to do, and we'll be burdened for those kids, and we'll pray and fast, God will take care of the need and meet everything else. Amen? I'll tell you something else we need to do, and I'll say a couple things, and I'm through. This is scattered because I had no outline. I'll tell you something else we need to do. We not only need to be right with God, we need to be right with each other. You can hinder the Spirit of God moving in church when you have bitterness or hard feelings toward other people, your husband, wife, other church. Maybe you got in a fuss out there in the parking lot. We have had this happen. We had two ladies almost get in a fight out there in the parking lot several months ago. You know what they ought to do? Do you want me to tell you what they ought to do? They ought to come in here and go to this altar and get down and say, Lord, I'm sorry, and tell each other sorry and hug necks and forget that thing. That's what they ought to do. You think they did that? I'll tell you one thing. She says one thing to me. I'll tell you one thing. I just never want to say, I'm not even sitting near. That's what they've done. That is a sign of babyishness, which is a Greek word for overgrown baby. I have never in my life tried to pastor a church when people was as big of babies as they are now. Adults that ought to know better. Adults, the least little thing, they get their feelings hurt and just back. Well, Listen, brother. Listen. You can't have this many people in a room and not bump into each other once in a while. You can't have this many people in the room and everything go your way. There is no way under God's heaven that a preacher can get up and preach that Bible and not rub you wrong once in a while. I can't please you in every decision that I make. I can't go, and I sure ain't going to ask you what you think, neither. I'll take your advice. I'll give you your opinion. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Everybody knows me, knows Brother Danny. When it comes right down to it, I'm going to do what I believe God wants me to do. That's all I know to do. It's worked for me all these years, and I don't intend to change that method. Amen. Ain't no deacons going to tell them. We ain't got no deacons. Amen. We need some. If you know anybody that's fit to be one. Just kidding. We got a lot of good men here in our church, but I'm going to tell you something here tonight. We need to get right with each other. I don't have nobody in mind when I say this. So if you're sitting back there and something says, he's talking about you, it's the devil telling you that, because I ain't. But if there's some of you ladies, if you see one woman coming in this way and you deliberately go this way so you won't have to speak to her, you say, how do you know that? Because I've been through it with them for 30 years. There's something wrong in your heart. You teenage girls, bless your heart. I love you. Bless your heart. You're sweet and all that. You little brats. You can hinder the moving of God. Y'all have been, well, she didn't know this, and she knows that I like him, and she was talking to him, and I like him. Shut up! Golly, yeah. Bum! This is God's house. I cannot believe how bratty youngs are sometimes. She knew that I liked him, and she spoke to him. Or she'll get that one to send her a text, and then she'll go straight over and tell, show her friend, look what they said about you. Or did this, that. You're full of hell, brother, if you act like that. If Brother Derek sends me a text talking bad about Jeremy, which he did this just last night, what kind of a retarded, backslid hypocrite would I be to come to Jeremy and say, look what Brother Derek said about you? I'm led of the devil. I am led of the devil to do something like that. You know what I ought to do? Erase it and pray about it. And he said, you sing Brother Derek? Yeah, Brother Derek done a good job in Sunday school this morning. I'm supposed to make peace, not war, fool. I don't understand. You know what y'all's problem is? To say what your teenage girl problem. You think your little feelings, and you'll say it's more important than God and the church and everything in the whole world. That's your problem. And some of you adults think like that. I wasn't planning on preaching none of this. You're just getting it as I'm getting it. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you something, brother. I'm serious tonight. Your little feelings ain't important. Your little boyfriend, your little girlfriend ain't important. It's God and His work and His house and the Holy Ghost. Get your heart right with the Lord tonight and get your heart right with each other. You say, well, she took my boyfriend. You ought to shout. She took the little zit-faced retard away from you. Amen. He said, I ain't never heard no preaching like that. You might as well learn, grow up, and get it tonight. Little witch, good night. You're in witchcraft. Well, you little girls need to get right with each other. If there's a girl in here you don't like, get your dirty heart right with God. Quit claiming to be a Christian. That's right with God. You boys in here saying, but he says one thing to me, I'm ready to fight. Get up here and get your dirty heart right. That ain't right. You say, well, they hurt my feelings. You'll get over it. Y'all have hurt my feelings a bunch of times. I've hurt your feelings, I'm sure. You get over it. You'll be all right. Learn to love each other. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, be loyal and our attitude toward each other. Being friendly to visitors. Being friendly to visitors. It's important that we be friendly to visitors. I'm not going to shake their hand. Wow, you're really spiritual. One lady told me one time, she said, not one person spoke to me. I said, well, how many people did you speak to? She said, none. So it works both ways, people. If you're always whining about people not being friendly, check up. I bet you're getting the same vibe off of them as they're getting from you. I think about old Linda Houck all the time. You know why Linda had so many friends? Because she is friendly. Son, she didn't meet a stranger. And I think about her all the time. I miss her so bad. And I'm telling you, she had some friends and enemies too. Amen. Didn't care to let you know it. But I tell you what, she's friendly. Bible said, if a man have friends, let him show himself friendly. It's not like, oh, those Alabama girls are coming. I don't want them. Mm-mm. That ain't the right attitude. Our desire ought to be, Lord, whatever you want. I remember Kathy Parker told me one time, we was getting ready to have some big meeting somewhere, and I'm through. You can come on, Miss Desi. And we was getting ready to have a big meeting, and I was talking to Kathy, and she said, Brother Danny, she said, the devil might get in this, but I don't want him to use me. I don't want him to be the one that the devil comes through to hinder this revival. And I've often thought about that. I'm not responsible for you. I can't do nothing about your heart. But I don't want to be the one the devil would come in and mess up our youth rally. And you don't need it. Believe me, you don't need it. The Bible said you'd be better to have a millstone tied around your neck than to offend a little one that believes in the Lord. One of these little kids. I know people that have got mad at church and have little kids like squishing them over there. And I mean, took those little kids and said, we're not going back there, because they got mad at something the preacher said, or something they didn't get the Sunday school class they wanted to teach, or some fool thing like that. And they took their kids and put them in a dead, dried up church. Said they was led by God to do that. And the kids grew up and got mean as a snake. All because mom and daddy was too stubborn and too babyish, too immature to swallow that pride and get their heart right with God. I'm telling you, Lord looks on the heart tonight, folks. The Lord looks on the heart. Let's get our hearts. Husbands and wives, young people and parents, towards your mom and dad, let's get our hearts right. Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's sing. Come on, Brother Jason. We're going to sing a verse of this song. Everybody knows it. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.